piece.
It's Cocktail Corner on 95BFM. Thanks to Boutique Connection, connecting you to boutique wine.
Hello, Renee Dale from Wah Wines and Boutique Connection. How are you?
Hey guys, I'm good. I'm really good. I love that little intro. Drinkies. Makes me so happy.
The fizz as well. You need to bring some Petnat back as well. We can probably do that again.
I've got some in the car, actually. I've got to drop some off.
That's strange you didn't bring it in here.
Yeah. Feel robbed all of a sudden.
It's all sold out.
Yeah.
Guys, it's sold out.
Yeah.
Are you going to make another batch?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
It should be sold out as well. That makes a lot of sense to me.
Really
makes sense.
Delicious. Yep. It's actually, you know, when I say sold out, it's like allocated. So it's still kind of out there and about. But a really cool new restaurant listed it on in Milford.
Yes.
And, oh my gosh, it's just like flying out. I can't keep up.
Yes.
Same with Ufa, by the way.
How many bottles did you make?
230.
Okay, so it's the most limited edition wine ever, basically.
Tiny.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so I went to Ufa, remember that pizza place?
Mm-hmm.
And it was absolutely insane. It was delicious.
Mm-hmm. Is Ufa the one that's been opened by the Peachy people?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool.
They're pretty young and pretty cool.
Yeah.
They're on trend,
I love
right?
Peachy, so I would be stoked to go and check that out. Yeah.
And it was like really like, didn't totally injure my bank account, you know? Mm-hmm. Like it was
nice,
manageable.
Anyone out there listening that has got a hot tip on a great place to eat and get a drink, you just your favorite spot, let us know, 5395. We've got Peachy and we've got
Ufa.
Toki.
Ufa.
Oh yeah, and Toki is the one in Milford that's gone crazy. That's the go-to guys.
Coach you guys.
Yeah.
Nice.
Definitely check that out. I like that we've got milk chocolate digestive cookies.
Wow. Brought them in. Yeah.
In front of us.
Thought he was helping
I
out.
I haven't even should have one because I've only had a pie and a banana today.
Usually
so I need
one,
some
John.
Biscuits.
Yeah.
I see some crumbs kind of leading your way.
I don't think having a chocolate biscuit before I drink a red wine, though, is really going to help my palate.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
What are we drinking today, Renee?
This is the first red wine I've brought in for you guys. What's that about? It's like winter and stuff.
Yeah.
Well,
no, it's spring now.
Oh, it's spring, sorry. Woohoo!
Oh, this smells good as well. Damn
Speaking
it.
Of spring, the winemaker of this wine spent all night last night fighting frosts. Like, it was legit cold down in Hawke's Bay.
What kind of frost fighting?
So, like, what you do is you can turn the water on and irrigate, and basically, as it drops below zero, the water freezes over all the buds.
Mm.
So, it protects the buds from frost.
Ah.
Crazy, eh?
That's cool. Yep.
Some weird science going on there.
Shell.
Do the nets help? Do they put nets up to stop the frost?
No.
No, okay.
We don't do nets until later in the season to keep all the birdies away. So I actually wrote some notes for this one. It's a little bit more organized than usual. We've got a Pinot Noir from Hawke's Bay, which in itself is actually kind of unusual. There's only probably about 7 or 8 Pinot Noirs that are grown in Hawke's Bay, that are made in Hawke's Bay. So there's ranging from like $20 to $60. This one's $30. And this is 2021 Hopes Grove Hawke's Bay Pinot Noir.
What does the Hawke's Bay specialize in?
Hawke's Bay is, you know, when I think of Hawke's Bay, I think of its kind of journey from like Merlot and Bordeaux varieties through to like Syrah and Chardonnay. But it can actually do pretty much anything.
Mm.
When I was there, we were making like sparkling method wines and rosés, viogniers, pretty much everything. Mm. And Pinot Noir, like this is actually grown a little bit south of Hawke's Bay in a place called Pukipuki. It's just south of Hastings.
Mm-hmm.
And they've only got 3 hectares, so it's tiny. So if you're thinking, like, how big is 3 hectares? That's like, I think, like 3 rugby pitches or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's not big. And they've got, I think, about 4 different varieties: Viognier, Chardonnay, Syrah, Pinot Noir, and then they make a rosé as well.
Is it a hobby vineyard? Do they do other stuff? Have they got normal jobs and they just do this on the side?
This is
this
like
is like jobs.
This is legit. This is not a side hustle. This is a guy called Peter Koopman. He's from California. Actually, he came to New Zealand about 20 years ago. And he met the winemaker at Craigie Range. And they kind of like tasted some wine that he'd made. And he fell in love with the idea of having his own vineyard.
Mm-hmm.
And then about 15 years ago, he finally moved out here.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought his wife and his two kids, so they've all grown up in Hawke's Bay, and he just kind of really went for it with his grape growing and his winemaking. So they've got a little winery as well, which is really cool.
So the grapes themselves are actually quite young, like...
Yeah, well, in the grand scheme of, you know, vineyards, they are. They're really young.
Does that make a difference on the wine? The age of the vines?
Yeah, totally.
How so? Tell me more, please.
Well, okay, so if you think about some of the oldest parts of the world...
It's really nice, by the way.
You can get 100-year-old vines in some parts of the world.
Mm.
And as they age, around the 30-year mark, they start to kind of slow down, a little bit like humans. You know, you hit 30 and then you're like, ugh, my knee. What's going on?
Mm.
So, yeah, vines are very similar. They in their early years, they're not producing a ton of fruit because they're so young and spindly.
Mm-hmm.
And you almost don't want to for the first 3 or 4 years anyway, because you want to just get them invested in their root system. And then they kind of start to produce more and more fruit, and you have to kind of keep on top of that and like cut it down to low yields for premium fruit.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, this will probably be anywhere between probably 3 to 6 tons per hectare for this wine.
How many bottles of wine could I make from that?
That's like, say you get 1,000, you'd probably get 1,000 bottles a ton, so like 3,000 bottles for 3 tons.
Still very limited wine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tiny.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in, say, Marlborough, you're getting like 16 tons per hectare of Sauvignon Blanc.
Yowza.
This wine totally is glorious. Different. This is great. If I'm going to drink wine... Sorry, guys, I should have cheersed you before I sculled this whole thing.
I just, like, get into it. Sorry.
I definitely... If I was going to go wine, I go red.
What is... Do you have, like, a... Like, is it a kind of special occasion kind of thing?
Typically...
How do you like it?
I don't know. Country's pretty good. You know that... Just kidding. I'm kidding.
Goon sack.
Oh, yeah. No, I saw that one coming a mile away.
Naughty.
Sorry. No, I'm not that bogan.
No judgment. We've all been there. I've had my own journey. You know, I started with like Bernardino and Passion Pop.
So did I.
This is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
This is a great red wine.
This is delicious. So other than red wine and other than Pet Nat, what else do you kind of go for with wines? Nothing too acidic, I'm getting.
Well, yeah, definitely. Nothing too acidic. Many moons ago, I had some time living in France, and our local shop had a really good wine selection, but everything in Europe was, you know, pretty affordably priced when it comes to wine. So I drank a lot of Côtes d'Aron and a lot of Bordeaux.
Yum!
I found that in Europe around the €8 mark, you would be cracking open a bloody good bottle of wine.
Yeah, they're lucky. We can get into that another time, but yeah, it's expensive to grow. It's expensive to buy land and establish a vineyard and grow it and make it and pump it out. And this is such a yummy wine. Like Hawke's Bay Pinot Noir, I find is really fruity. Like it's quite a fruit-driven style. They've actually planted this on limestone. So limestone is like the unicorn soil for grapes. You usually get limestone and clay, like a little mixture, and it just, oh man, the wines that come off limestone, there's so many delicious wines around the world. If you can get some limestone land, then like let me know, because I want to plant some grapes. It creates like this really fruit driven style of wine without it being too like tannic and aggressive. So you were drinking like Côte d'Aron in France. A lot of Pinot Noirs in New Zealand are kind of made like a Syrah, so Côte d'Aron is usually usually like a Syrah based.
This is great to know.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, Syrah.
So
Syrah's on trend in our house at the moment.
Totally. Syrah or Shiraz, because it's the same grape, but just kind of different styles.
Yeah.
So I find like some of the Pinot Noirs from Otago, like Bang and Syrahs, kind of. They're quite grunty.
They are grunty.
Whereas some would argue Pinot Noir should be more like silky and light and ethereal. I mean, everyone's got their own Pinot
preferences.
Totally.
But it's really what you're telling us basically is Pinot Noir is a really expressive kind of grape, right? I mean, there's a lot of... We talked right when we had you on the show the first time. It was about winemaking, right? But we're kind of talking about terroir in a sense here, right?
Yeah, Pinot Noir is... they call it the fickle mistress. It's so fickle.
There is a wine called Fickle Mistress.
Yeah, I know.
It's a great term as well, a fickle mistress.
I know, they stole that. So annoying.
Yeah.
But, like, it is... It's so... it's the winemaker's grape, really, because you can manipulate as much as you want or as little as you want, and it still kind of does its own thing. And I remember this winemaker, a friend of mine, explained why he loved like a good Burgundy, and it's like this beautiful kind of silky tannin that just when it slides down your throat and around your palate, it sort of creates this slight friction that I can't describe, but when he was telling me that story, I was like, wow, I want to experience that. Like, give it to me now. And it's sort of like this constant, like, hunt for that experience. They also talk about pinosity, which is like, is your Pinot expressing varietal Pinot characters? I think this one definitely is. It's absolutely delicious. It's just recently got some accolades from Bob Campbell and seems to be flying out the door. 2021 again, that was a really great vintage as well in Hawke's Bay.
Where can we get this wine?
So this is again one of the ones that's on our in our subscription pack. So
Boutique Connection.
In the subscription packs you will definitely get some of this. But they do sell their wines on their websites as well. So Hopes Grove, I think it's hopesgrove.co.nz potentially. Yeah. So what do you think? Has it got pinosity to you?
I've drunk my entire wine. You guys is like still sipping on yours, but mine I just went.
Do you know how like Sam and Scarlett were here a couple of weeks ago and they were like smashability scale, we should have like a...
That gets a 10 for me.
Yeah, well I think a smashability scale is sort of like it's useful, but it's also like I think there's more to it. I would like to say maybe an evaporation level. So has this got a high evaporation level, meaning
you can let it sit for a while.
It disappears in your glass. This is definitely a 10 out of 10 evaporation level for me.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Cool, guys. Cheers.
Cheers.
I love Thursdays.
Yeah. Thank you, Renee. go ahead and check out Boutique Connection, everyone. You've probably figured out by now if you're a wine fan, this is a place to head along to get some unique and amazing wines.
Mm-hmm.
Unique vinos.
Your shout, yeah? Cocktail Corner on 95 BFM. Thanks to Boutique Connection, connecting you to boutique wine.